Hello, and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Thanks so much for being with us. This week, Frankfurt Mayor Judy Sheets is our guest. If you have questions for the mayor, you can still email those in to ask, that's A-S-K, at WBAA.org. And we've got the mayor with us right now. Good afternoon, Mayor Sheets.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Good.
So you had your first big snowfall of the season as mayor yesterday, your first official snowfall.
Yes, we did.
So how did that go, Mayor?
It went really well. Our streets department superintendent got a hold of me, and I think he said they were out by 4 o'clock yesterday morning.
That's early.
They had, yeah, 6 trucks out working away, and today they were finishing up just some of the downtown where they have to pile the snow, but I think we're in great shape. The roads are looking great over here, and it was kind of exciting to get our snow out of the way and see how everything was going to go.
So what did, as mayor, what did you have to do yesterday?
Okay, I mainly just leaned on Jason, our street superintendent, to make sure that everything was going well and that, you know, we were prepared, and it went very well.
Okay.
I was in touch with him.
Okay. So I wanted to start the show off today by getting an update from you on where things stand with COVID-19 in your area. We didn't have a conversation last month, so we have a little bit of catching up to do. And cases have been up across the state. The Indiana State Department of Health just did their daily update. They reported 53 cases and one additional death for Clinton County in their daily update just a few minutes ago. So I guess my first question would be, because this is kind of a big question right now, how have your local hospitals been doing, your local health care providers? Are they feeling some pressure right now?
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's true across the state, across the nation. You know, I think everybody's feeling that in the health care. Our hospital, from what I've understood, is staying full during this time. And also, we also have patients in Lafayette.
Mm-hmm. I know as well, there's kind of been an ongoing conversation about how absences from COVID, whether that's because somebody is sick themselves, they're quarantining because they've been exposed, they're taking care of someone who's sick, has been impacting staffing at all kinds of workplaces. And I wanted to ask how that's impacted city employees.
So far, we've been able to handle that. We're having split shifts at our street department, our parks department, and at our utilities. And that's worked really well for us because we didn't want all the employees there at the same time, same place, with that exposure, you know, that chance of exposure. So we've worked really hard to set up schedules so that they're there at different times. And so far, we've been able to handle that and still provide the services to our citizens.
Okay. We also have, we just kind of came out of Thanksgiving. I know there's been cases increasing related to gatherings for Thanksgiving. And we've got, of course, some, you know, Christmas Eve and Christmas holidays coming up next week. What is the Clinton County Health Department telling people about holiday gatherings and what they should be doing and thinking about?
I think right now they're asking them to limit the number. You know, I think that's a big thing. And also we go right back to, you know, the social distancing, wear your mask, take these extra precautions right now during this holiday season. So I think that's one thing that we need to look at. I know a lot of people canceled Thanksgiving plans, and I hate to see it, but I know that a lot of people are going to have to do the same thing for Christmas. I mean, we're just going to have to be cautious.
I saw that Frankfurt High School went to e-learning this week because of COVID-related absences. Can you talk a little bit about how the local school systems have been faring with COVID?
I think the school system's been doing very well. I know that we've had to go to e-learning for some of the schools. Our elementaries are still in session, mm-hmm. and they have not been out of session, you know, throughout this time. So I think that's really good. But I know the other schools, middle school, high school, had to for a while. But I think that they're taking the precautions that are necessary. And sometimes that's what you have to do. You just have to have the e-learning in place so that you don't have more exposures at the building. So I think it's going really well.
So on December 10th, it looks like ISDH reported what looks like your highest one-day total in the county. That was 88 cases. And the health department in Clinton County, I saw posted on their Facebook page, specifically drawing people's attention to that high number. It looks like they really wanted people to pay attention to that and to be mindful of that. And so in response to that and to some other health department postings I saw, I wanted to ask about this because I saw a number of people saying that they had had the experience of, for example, going into a local business and seeing employees and customers not wearing masks and wishing that that was being enforced more stringently. Have you heard about any issues with anything like that?
I have heard that there's been different restaurants, maybe gas stations, that type thing in cities, you know, within the city, that they're not enforcing that mask. And it's really hard to do. Some people have health issues that they can't wear it. And then really, who are you going to get to come in and, you know, police those things and say you can't be in the store? Or, I mean, it falls back on the Department of Health to enforce that. And I did talk to someone the other day, and they said that they had actually contacted the Department of Health with a list of businesses that they'd been in. So I know they're keeping an eye on it. You know, they're trying to make that happen, but it's really difficult to do.
So as mayor, how do you think you can, I guess, reinforce to the extent that you're able for these businesses that there is a statewide mask mandate in place and that people might prefer that they hold to that? You know, what right. can you do?
You know, I think as mayor, first of all, I have to be the example. And I wear my mask all the time. Nobody's going to see me out in public without my mask on. I always wear my mask. I think as mayor, as leader for the city, that I have to be the example as well. I've asked our department heads, our department employees, while they're on duty, you know, to wear your mask, to do with social distancing. And I think that's the important thing. We have to, you know, we have to be an example to these people and show them this is what we believe in and what we should be doing. A lot of the businesses, I know it's really hard for them, you know, to enforce that, you know, because they don't lose business. But on the other hand, we have to watch out for the health and safety of our citizens.
Can you talk a little bit, since we're talking about local businesses, you know, we've had some updates from you, you know, over the past year. Yeah, again, for example, restaurants, things like that. And we've talked about, I believe, how the holiday season can kind of be a time of year when restaurants and local businesses can make some more money. So can you talk a little bit about how, you know, maybe even especially downtown Frankfort businesses are faring right now?
I think they're doing really well. I did notice the other day that one of our local restaurants downtown is offering carryout meals again, which I think that's a great thing. We have some others that are open. They're still doing the social distancing within the restaurants. So I think overall that we're doing okay. I mean, it's not anywhere close probably to what we've been in the past, but we are able to handle that and to continue to offer those services.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg, and right now we're talking with Frankfort Mayor Judy Sheets. So, Mayor, COVID-19 vaccinations started being administered across the country and in Indiana this week. So what can you tell us about what that process is going to look like in Clinton County?
Okay, I know we're getting ready. Actually, we had a call yesterday on it with some local officials, and it's something that we're looking forward to. We're just in the planning stages, you know, of where we're going to be moving forward. But it's going to take participation by the city and the county as well, working together with our EMA and the different departments to see that this happens. We haven't, like I said, got our plan set yet, but we're in the planning stages of making sure that this happens.
Have you, when you were on this call yesterday, do you have any sense of a timeline when people might, you know, expect to start hearing some more from officials?
I think probably for citizens, it's probably going to be, I'm going to say end of January, February, before we're even going to be able to have that capability to have something set up and the clinics ready to go.
Have you, this has kind of been a, you know, a topic as well, have you talked to Frankfort residents who might be hesitant to get the vaccine?
I have not. I have not addressed that with the citizens or with our employees at this point. I'm just kind of holding off till I get more information and see exactly where we stand on that. I know a lot of people are wondering, are you going to require it for your employees, which I'm not even sure at this point that we could. But I think once we get more information, then we can educate people and encourage them to get the vaccinations.
What do you think you would say to them? I guess just with the information that you have, I know a lot of officials are thinking about this, you know, how to get the right messaging across. If the idea is we want people to get the vaccine, you know, you kind of talked about, you know, leading by example, you know, mm-hmm. do you plan on getting the vaccine?
I do. I have not signed up for it yet, nor have, you know, I talked to anybody about doing that, but yes, I intend to. And I think there again, like you said, leading by example. You know, if it's something that you believe in, they've done their research, and I really think to keep this pandemic under control, it's something we're going to have to do. You know, you think back of other vaccinations along the way as throughout the past years, and it's just something that I think we're going to have to look at and really encourage people to do that to slow this down.
Do you anticipate that you might be hearing from some more people who might have issues with receiving the vaccine? I guess if you're just trying to kind of think ahead over the next couple of months.
I think so. I think it's going to be a big concern for the citizens, you know, for our employees. There's a lot of controversy still over that. You know, I look at social media. Some people, they're absolutely going to do it, and you see other people that say there's no way. So I think over time it's just going to be continued education and encouragement.
Okay. So the city this week announced Frito-Lay will be expanding in Frankfurt. They're investing $60 million additional dollars. They're adding 50 new jobs. So first of all, can you tell us, so what does that expansion look like? What are they adding to the existing facility?
Right. They're going to have operations within the existing facility. I'm not really sure at this point what it's going to be, what all that's going to entail. But I will tell you this, that I am very grateful to Frito-Lay because, you know, they have continued to financially invest in this community and to bring in the jobs, the creations of jobs. I think that's great. You know, they're here to help strengthen our local economy for the city.
So the city's announcement also kind of indicated that this investment came about because of collaboration with you and the city's finance committee. So can you talk about that collaboration?
Yes, exactly. We have a finance committee that's made up of three council members, and we worked with also Shan Sheridan, who is with the Chamber of Commerce, and Frito representatives, and I think we had some really good discussions. We came up with some really good plans. The negotiations went really well, and we're very fortunate to be able to do that, to collaborate, to get this put together.
How important is Frito-Lay to Frankfurt's economy?
Oh, it's very important. I mean, we have several employees, several hundred employees, and most of them probably live in Frankfurt or in the Frankfurt area, so that's very important to our economy. And Frito's very good to also help out with community things that are going on, so we appreciate that as well. But it's very important to us to have this. This is the biggest employment facility in Frankfurt.
Why do you think, you know, this year especially, it's important to get an investment like this in the community?
Well, I think with other things that are going on as far as the economy and as far as our taxes and that type thing, I think it's very important that we look for new projects, new ways to bring in revenues, because we still don't know at this point how this COVID is going to affect our revenues for the city.
Do you think this kind of investment can, you know, persuade other companies to invest similarly in Frankfurt?
I think absolutely. I think it sends a message out to them. You know, Frito is a big factory, big, you know, industry, and I would like to think that other people would look to them and see how successful they've been in Frankfurt and would consider coming here as well.
Okay. Frankfurt has experienced a couple of, it looks like, kind of significant power outages over the past few weeks. I wanted to ask about that. First of all, do we know what's causing those outages? What was behind those?
Well, I do know that our utilities have been working very hard on that. That's something that we like to see happen. we had some problems with substations. We had done some rerouting, and I know that they've worked with Duke Energy as well. So we're working on this. We're trying to keep that from happening again because it's something you don't want. You do not want that for our citizens, for our industry. That's an important thing, that they're able to have good power that they can depend on.
So, I mean, and you've been, you're a lifelong Frankfort resident. So this, I want to say there was an outage on November 30th and then one around a week later. I mean, is it typical for those to come so close together?
Not usually. You know, that's not something that would usually happen, but it did. Like I said, we were rerouting to a substation. I'm not sure exactly what all happened, but there was some problems with that, and I think we're getting that fixed. We're getting it taken care of, and like I said, we had to work with Duke Energy as well because they're a part of this.
Well, and I know that we're kind of heading into winter and colder weather and darker outside, so I guess, you know, can the city keep this from happening again, or, you know, not even just on a regular basis, but again, especially now that we're kind of into that winter time?
Absolutely. I'm sure we're making every effort to make sure that that's taken care of. Todd Corey is the utilities manager, and he's very good at that. He's working to make sure this doesn't happen again. And as you could probably see from social media, I don't know if you've been following it, but, I mean, this was taken care of within a couple of hours.
Mm.
That's unbelievable. I mean, he gets them out there, he gets them working, they get the problem solved, and we get the power back on. And that's so important. You know, in previous years, like when I was a child, it was nothing for power to be out for a long, extended period of time. Now we have people that we can get this figured out in a couple of hours and get the power back on and work towards it not happening again.
How widespread was the outage? You mentioned something about industry. I mean, are we talking about the entire town? Are we talking about, half of town? What are we talking?
It was a good percentage of Frankfort.
Okay.
It absolutely was. It covered a pretty huge area. So it's something that, you know, we're very concerned about and are working towards making sure that that does not happen again. But like I said, I really appreciate the City Light and Power and the guys getting out and working on this. And they really fixed it quickly. I mean, like I said, you know, 2 or 3 hours, that's pretty quick from not knowing even what caused the problem.
Mm-hmm. So I guess this sort of segues into my next question. You've got your annual Christmas lights display up officially in TPA Park. So really quickly, I guess, did the outages impact the lights display? Did that?
It did.
Okay.
It did.
Okay.
There were no lights at the park that night, so it absolutely did.
Okay. So aside from the lights going out, so that I've been seeing talk about this. So I guess the second thing I'll ask about here is how traffic and wait times have been. I know this isn't necessarily new, that there's a kind of a line to get in to see the lights, but looks like I think the police department specifically said something about how long the wait was, and that it's possibly been a little bit of an issue. To this day, I still have not gone to see the Frankfort lights. I know I need to check that off my bucket list. I need to do that. So, but as I understand it, there's one way in and out of the park to see the lights.
Yeah.
And maybe that wasn't always the case. So how long has that been, how it's handled?
I'm trying to think of how far back that was. I think it was Travis Sheets that did that. So I'm going to guess maybe 3 or 4 years ago, because it wasn't always like that. It was two-way traffic through the park, and they decided it would be better to make it one way, you know, one way in, one way out. And myself, I think it probably is the best thing because those roads are narrow. So when you have, you know, traffic going both ways, that's really difficult. Now, I was out at the lights last night. We didn't wait at all.
Okay.
On a weeknight. You know, there was no wait at all. But then I went out Saturday, I think it was on the 5th,
mm-hmm.
and we waited 2 hours to go through the park. So I think that depends, too, what night you go, what time you go. That's what I was telling my husband last night. I said, people should have come out tonight with the snow and the lights. It was beautiful out there. I said, they're missing it.
Well, I think I saw someone saying something about, and it maybe have might have been the night that you were there over the weekend, that there were characters there that night. I think
yes.
That's the word that they used. What characters are yes. we talking about here? Who was there?
Okay, we had Elsa, we had the
elf,
we had Santa, we had a gingerbread man. Let's see, what else did we have? There were several. There were about like 20 characters out there. And there's a group in Frankfurt. They're called the Fun Group.
Right.
And they had asked to do that, to volunteer, because one thing is we needed volunteers to stand out at the donations box anyway. But they offered to come out, have the characters there, and they passed out little treat bags. And I'm telling you, that was a great success. So many people, except for you had to wait.
Except for you had to wait. Well, so,
yeah.
And so, and we've talked about this a little bit with the lights and, you know, how, so some of what you just described is a little more interactive with people. So what are the COVID measures that have been put in place to keep people safe if they're handing out treat bags and are.
So they wore masks. They were still supposed, nobody was to be out of their vehicles as far as people coming through the park. The characters, of course, were. But they, you know, distanced themselves from the people, didn't, like, stay and talk to them or anything like that. They had their mask on. I think one thing other than that group that is sad to me is we have not been able to have Santa this year but just a couple times because of that. Because, of course, you know, we have the costume for them to wear, and we're just, that's one of the precautions we're taking. We're not going to have that costume shared amongst people. You know, every night the volunteers could just, like, switch off and use that, but we're not doing that this year.
Do you think, you know, we're talking about long wait times here, and again, kind of acknowledging that that's not necessarily, that does happen, you know, other years aside from this one, but do you feel like maybe more people are coming because it's a relatively safe activity right now, and so many other holiday activities have been canceled or postponed?
I do. I really do think that that's the reason why. I mean, we've always had a great turnout anyway. It's always been great. But there's so many things that are not going on this year. You know, we don't have Santa in town. We used to have the little Main Street, took the people out through the parks. We're not doing that this year. The shuttle. So, I mean, there's so many things. So I think people are coming out there to enjoy the lights, to at least get some sense of the festive part of Christmas.
So, and again, I'm going to swing back to this for just a second. We were talking about, you know, businesses in Frankfurt, you know, with people coming in for the lights, you know, is that even helping some of those Frankfurt businesses a bit? You know, are people sticking around and eating at those restaurants and visiting those shops?
I think that it does. I think it has to have some effect on that. Also, out by the park, I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, we have the Fox Den, which is part of our golf course.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been staying open, too. And they've been serving, like, hot cocoa or cider or whatever. So we have that open throughout the evening, so that people can run over there, and we have a couple other little coffee places or hot chocolate where they can get things. So I'm sure that people are supporting those businesses as well.
When are the lights over? How long are they up, Mayor?
We will probably keep them on till the first part of January.
Okay. So Frankfurt's Board of Works gave final approval this week for the construction of Frankfurt's new police department building. We've talked about this before, so what is the next step in the process? What comes next?
Okay. Next January, at the end of the month, we will make our other payment for the land, which was the way we drew up the contract, two payments of $100,000. So that will get paid. We will get possession of that. And then I believe we will start probably March, April, start bidding out the project and hopefully get that started summertime. And then hopefully in 2022, by summer or fall, we'll be in there. So I'm hoping that we'll have that all done. But we've been working on designs for the station currently.
Okay.
So there's still some things we're doing, trying to take care of some expenses, some engineering fees, and some other things that we needed. So we're anxious to get it started. I look, like I said, March or April, I'm hoping we're getting the bonds and getting ready to go.
Well, and you and I have talked about you were a longtime police department employee, and so that might impact, you know, your interest in or your ability to kind of know maybe what the police department might need to function as they build a new space.
Exactly. You know, because I was there almost 30 years. So I know what it takes, you know, for a police department and what they need and the type of equipment. I know there's been changes since I've been there, but I'm still very concerned that they are able to have the equipment that they need, the building that they need. And I know the officers are excited about it. It's something that's been a long time coming, and I know they're excited. They've never had a building from ground up. You know, they've always just redid a building or stuck them somewhere, mm-hmm. you know, at the bottom, you know, in the basement somewhere. Or then we had the old post office, which we renovated for them. So I think it's exciting for them. You know, finally, from the ground up, we get to have a police department and have what we need.
So the city also had a third reading of an ordinance this week about the annexation project. So as we're mm-hmm. closing out the year, let's get an update on where things stand with that and what do those next steps look like as that continues.
Okay, so that was our third reading, and then now we're in a remonstrance period, and that goes until March. People that are affected by the annexation will be receiving certified letters, and also there's a public notice that's going out that they can be a part of the remonstrance through March. And so hopefully by April, that's when we'll be able to have it into effect if we don't have any other things that come up, you know, on the legal side from the remonstrance. And then 1 year from that, or three years from that date is when the actual annexation takes place.
Okay. So it's the end of 2020. I actually counted this out earlier. You're in your 10th month as mayor of Frankfort.
Yes.
And so this year probably hasn't been exactly what you thought it might be when you started back in March.
No.
So what did you want to do this year that maybe you didn't get a chance to? And what did you get to cross off your list this year that you wanted to accomplish?
Well, I think I was wanting to focus more like on city business, what needed to take place, you know, look at the finances, see what projects we could get in place. Well, then, of course, when COVID came along, that just changed everything because we don't know on our revenues. We have to cancel some projects, and I think that's pretty disappointing, you know, that like the Aquatic Center, mm-hmm. I was looking forward to moving on that, and we're not able to do that. But on the other hand, we're getting the police station in progress, so I'm like, I'm happy about that. Prairie Creek Park got completed,
mm-hmm.
and so I'm excited about that. We're going to have the grand opening probably in May of next year.
Okay.
We want to make sure that, you know, we're not in the wintertime doing it and that we're ready to go, so we're thinking sometime in May. We're going to have some entertainment lined up next year, so I'm excited about that. Trying to think of something. Another concern of ours that I'm hoping we work on after the first year is housing. That's another thing that's very important in Frankfort so that we can get housing. Houses are going so quickly here in Frankfort, so we need to take a look at that. And I think my biggest concern for next year is the health and safety of the community.
Okay, Mayor, that is all the time we have. Thanks so much for being with us, as always.
Thank you.
You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayor of Frankfort and then with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, and Crawfordsville. Send us your questions for all four mayors to ask. That's ASK at WBAA.org. Thanks so much for listening and have a great rest of the day.